We are the fruit. Those of us who are following Jesus are the fruit of somebody talking to us, aren't they? So I don't know if you can think for a minute, who's been involved in you being here where you are with Jesus? Who's been involved? You know, who are those people that we might honour and say, thank you, Lord, for that person? Maybe they're no longer with us. Maybe they've passed on, but you know, they had a responsibility. They had a word. They had an example or something that has spurred you on. And a time or two ago when I was speaking, I was thinking about this, and I was thinking about a man who led me to Jesus. And he was a Salvation Army officer called Captain Grenville Burns. In the middle of Bootle, that was a name, wasn't it? And Captain Burns, he was quite posh, really, and he's from Hemel Hempstead. I don't know if everyone's posh in Hemel Hempstead, but he was. And but a lovely couple, him and his wife and little children. And he walked with me through my journey until the point that I gave my life to Jesus, and he prayed with me, which was great. And then the Salvation Army don't keep them in one place very long. They move them on. So he was moved on to who knows where. But when I was preparing for one of my talks, I was thinking about him, and I thought, I wonder if he'd like to know that, you know, this girl from a council estate in Liverpool who walked into his church one day, and he walked with me, he led me to Jesus. I wonder if he'd like to know I'm still loving Jesus. I'm still going on. So I sent an email to Salvation Army headquarters, and I said, I don't know if you can track this person down, but I wondered if he would like to know that I'm still following Jesus, and I don't know if you can get that to him. Anyway, last week, I got an email from him, and it was titled, Amazing. And it said he was absolutely thrilled to hear from me. And he said, I tell your story a lot still. And I thought, oh gosh, that's amazing. So I reckon I hadn't actually spoken to him for 40 years. I know, you think, well, you probably were two last time you spoke to him. No, no, it's not true, but anyway. It's 40 years, and so I emailed him back with our details, and he phoned me, and we had a real chat, and he said, it's absolutely amazing to hear from you, and, you know, your story was a highlight of my ministry. And he said how God could change you and what he could do in a life kept nailing home that God can do it, God can do it. So he said, I'm so pleased to hear about you. And he wanted to know about all the family and, you know, all this sort of thing. And he said, or maybe, he said, I live in Surrey now, but could you come down to meet us and his wife? So he said, oh, you could come to my office in London. So I said, oh, where about? I know London a little bit. My sons live there. He said, oh, I work in the House of Lords. It's like, yeah, I can. I can come. So I don't know when I'm going, but I'm going. And so he's still there and working. I can't work out how old he is. You know, when you're 17, everyone's old, aren't they? And so who knows how old he is, really, but I'll get to see. And I'm sure he won't recognise me. But, yeah, so we're really looking forward to doing that. But that's recognising the fruit of someone's life, isn't it? And he said to me, he didn't remember everything quite accurately, I didn't think. But he said, I remember you coming and kneeling at the mercy seat. And in the Salvation Army, I don't know if you know, they have a sort of bench at the front and at the end that, you know, there's, if there's an appeal or you want prayer, you just come and kneel and someone comes and prays with you. It's really nice. And he said, I remember you kneeling at the mercy seat and you asking Jesus into your life. And your friend, so I was like, yes, I remember it, yeah. He said, but the next time we had an appeal, you were there again at the mercy seat. He said, and I came out and said to you, you don't have to come out every time there's an appeal. You know, you belong to Jesus. And he said, you said to me, yes, but I'm praying for other people to find Jesus. And I said, did I say that? And he said, you did. You wanted other people to know Jesus. That was your heart from day one. And I said, you know, it still is. That is still my heart. That is still what gets me up in the morning and going, Jesus, there's a hunger for people to know him like I did, because I want people's lives to change. I want people to have Sue Sinclair's and know what fruit is, that they're affecting people. So that was just a lovely time for me. I mean, he said, do you remember the time I told you to go and do an open air in your street? I went, yeah, I do, yeah. And I said, I just did it because you told me. And he told me to, we lived in a little square cul-de-sac, and he said, go round, go and knock on every door in your street and ask people, what's their favourite hymn? And what would they like prayer for? And on Sunday, you can lead a service in the middle of your square and you can pray for them and we'll do their favourite hymns. And I went, okay. And that's where I did. But you know, at the time, that was in the 70s, there was not one house in our cul-de-sac that didn't have someone who was unemployed in the family. And it was quite a difficult time, I'm sure, for the country. But that, you know, I don't think I could do it now. I think I'd be too scared, but I did it. And I remember going and I sat in lots of people's houses. You know, I'd be 18 probably then. But they talked to me about deep things. And when I go back to that cul-de-sac where my mum's house still is, I still know quite a lot of people who are still there. And I still remember some of the things we prayed for. Other times he'd say to me, we'd be in an open air, go and talk to that boy at the bus stop. Go and tell him your testimony. And I'd go and do it. Now I'd be like, after you. But now then I was probably a little bit more malleable, maybe. But you know, we're talking about fruit today a little bit. And we're only going to touch on it really. But what do we mean by fruit? You know, is it just a metaphor for people? Well, it's increase, isn't it? It's that our lives will show increase. It's that we'll have influence and just maybe, you know, make an impact where we are. Do you like those? Do you know those three eyes? It just came to me like that. Honestly, I didn't have to look it up. So, yeah, we want to increase in number, don't we, here? We want, because not just to fill the seats, but so that people get to meet our Jesus. And you know, singing today and just worshipping, it's my happy place. I don't have to worry about what key it's in, whether I'm singing in tune, you know, if the words are on screen. I don't have to look at that. I just in love with Jesus so much. And that is a bit where I can just have a happy place of being with him and knowing that, you know, when we go out there, we have to face all sorts of things. But this is the place where I just get to be intimate, to say, I love you. You've been with me through so much in my life. You've been with me through losing people, through happy times, through desperate times, through prayer and fasting and on my knees for people who need Jesus desperately. I've seen Jesus's power with, there was a lady when we were at college, you will remember Anne, who, you know, we think she was demonized in some way. She had extraordinary power and strength. And I've seen someone put her hand on it, say, in Jesus' name, stop, and she dropped to the ground. You know, we've seen these things. This is our Jesus. And we've seen, you know, we've seen some healing. Emily talked about ears. We've had two people with ears healed here. And then you go, oh, what about all the people you haven't seen healed? Well, you know what? We can have the theology of the step or the fall. So when we have a toddler and the toddler takes a step, one step, two step, then they fall. So we might go, well, he can't walk, can he? So there's no point in him doing it again because he wasn't very good at it. Or we can celebrate the step and go, well done. Look at that. That makes us happy. So let's celebrate what we see God doing. And we're not ignoring that people struggle and suffer. But I am going to refuse to have my faith chained up. And I'd rather believe in Jesus than everything I see. We sing a song, don't we? You know, I don't need to see it to believe it. You know, we believe it because the word says that that's the way it is and that we're following him. Let's read our reading. Can you get that up for me, Dan, please? And I thought, let's give me a rest and let's read it together. Can you see that? Can you see that at the back, Carolyn? Yeah? Okay. Let's read together. I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me, as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire and burned, and are called sticks. It wasn't that in the Bible, but I put that in. So, do you remember that song, You Are the Vine and I Am the Branches? Who wanted to sing that then? You are the vine, yeah. Yeah, don't show your age, don't admit to it. Just quickly, we're going to just have a look at two little bits, and then I just want to be really, really practical about bearing fruit. So it starts with, I am the true vine, my Father is the gardener. So Jesus had just, he'd been with his disciples. It was getting towards the end of his life. They just celebrated the Last Supper. And then we get this about Jesus, I am the vine. And you think, well, where did that come from? So they must have been moving away then. They must have been walking away somewhere. And grapes and, thank you, Dan, would have been around that they would have said, well, yeah, you know. So Jesus describes it. And it was very clever, wasn't it? Because they've had vines all around them. So every time they'd see it, they'd remember what Jesus said about it. So he said he was the vine and the Father was the gardener. So who were we? We were the branches. And the branches were the ones that bore or will bear the fruit. So it isn't Jesus, it's Jesus in us that is bearing the fruit. So our lives need to show fruit, doesn't it? And we've already defined that, whether it's increase or influence, whether it's bringing people, or whether it's influencing a situation where you work. When I was teaching, you know, they'd say sometimes, right, cover your ears for this bit, or don't swear, Linda's here. Well, I'd never said, you know, you shouldn't swear, or I would never say something like that. But it's the fact that we're there. We influence a situation. You know, we ought to see our fruit where we work, in our families. We ought to make a difference, in other words, wherever we are, because we're there. Jesus is in us. Now, we know there are lots of people who are not Christians who are doing really good things, and it's not to say that. But this is a spiritual work that we're seeing in different ways. It says, he cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes. We're meant to bear fruit. It's supposed to be a normal thing, isn't it? I know we had an apple tree once. If you've been to our garden, you will know we're not gardeners. Mark cuts the grass and the hedge, lovely. And I love flowers. I'd love a garden full of flowers, but you've got to plant things, haven't you? And they don't. And every year I go, why have we not got flowers all over our garden? In the spring, why have we not got bulbs popping up everywhere? And I know Stuart and Nick have often taken pity on us and changed things like our hanging baskets without us even knowing about it. but we did have an apple tree, and I planted it when I was 40, and I was so happy with this apple tree because every year it had apples on it. And I was like, how did that happen? Because I never did anything. I did plant it, but I didn't do anything to it. And I heard that you're supposed to prune it, and I did start to read it, and then that looked too boring. So I thought, how hard can it be? So I just hacked at it a little bit, and still it bore apples. And every year these apples came, and it was just lovely. I was made up with it, and you know, I'd boast to people where it had nothing to do with me. It just did it naturally. And what I'm saying is, the point is, we will bear fruit naturally. We have to, if we are in the vine, if we are attached to Jesus. And he says he'll prune us. Is that a bad thing? Well, it sounds horrible, doesn't it? But if you think of how he pruned, say, the disciples, you know, just a quick example of Peter, he said, you know, Jesus said, I have to wash you, you know, and Jesus got the towel, didn't he, what the lowest servant would do. And so Peter says, no, you're not washing my feet, not you. And straight away, Jesus, you know, snip, prune. Well, unless I wash you, you know, I have to wash you, otherwise you won't be clean. All right then, the whole of me. So he changes straight away. And he doesn't say to Peter, you know what, you're a real gob. You're just, you know, mouthy and saying it. He just prunes it slightly so that Peter can understand. And that's what pruning is. It's just directing us slightly so that we understand better, so that we can be more effective. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. If we want to be fruitful, we don't have to strive and go, oh, let's produce fruit. I'm sure my apple tree, you know, didn't sort of clench its teeth and go, come on, apples, apples, apples. It just did it naturally, didn't it? I have to tell you, that apple tree actually fell down in the end. was like, there's no happy ending in this one. So don't be asking for apples anymore. But it doesn't say we don't do anything, that we just, you know, we come into God's kingdom, we're part of it, we decide we're going to follow Jesus, and we do nothing, and then we just become really fruitful people. No, we have to stay connected. And I'm really sorry if this is very simplistic today, but it's all I know of how to stay connected. And if we do, we will make a difference. When we go in booths, it should be better than before we went in. Now, you might not be, you know, the brightest, happiest person when you go in booths, but we should be influencing people for good. We should be saying good things. I mean, don't get me wrong, I can moan about the weather, you know, and whatever else is going on, but in our essence, people should know us as positive people, of championing people, of saying, you know, well done. You know, I noticed the way you were lovely with that customer. So it's saying something positive to people. I was in an airport buying something or other. And you know when you pick the till with only one person and it ends up being like the longest wait of your life? So I got in this queue with one person in front of me. And she had a few things and she wanted to pay by cash. So she gets her cash out and she didn't have enough. So, you know, I'm waiting around and I thought she'll get a card out. No, she didn't get a card out. She started shouting to her friends over here, can you? And, you know, they weren't English, so I didn't really know what she was saying. But I presume she was saying, have you got any money there? So this woman comes over and then she goes away. Then another one comes over and goes away. And you know when you're like, so I'm still there and thinking, oh, blimey now. So anyway, I leaned over and I said to the cashier, what's the hold up? So she's like, oh, she hasn't got enough money. I was like, how much is she short? So it was only something like €2. I went, oh, here, have the €2. It's like really worth it just to get me out of here. So this woman, I did think she might be a little bit grateful, but she sort of looked at me like, what are you doing? Anyway, she took her stuff and off she went. And the lady behind me said to me, are you an angel? So I looked behind, I'm like, do you think I am? I'm prepared to go with it. And she said to me, are you an angel? So I was like, what? She went, you just gave that woman money and she didn't deserve it. And I went, no. I said, I sort of did it to get rid of her, to be honest. And she said, well, her friends are here. And I said, oh, you work here? She went, well, the others have told me to carry her bag for them. So she was carrying this basket while they filled her up. And it was just really funny. But, you know, it was just a little thing. And it was nothing, was it? And I'm sure anybody would do that. But it's seeing the significance of God in our lives, that where we go, open my eyes, Lord, open my spiritual eyes and my spiritual ears, that I see what's going on. And that is the absolute wonderful thing about being a Christian, is that you get to partner with Jesus in what he's doing. So it's not just, open house is not just a good idea. It is good for us, but it's going to be good for our friends. And I don't know where God will go with this, but it's a seed and we've got to go with that. So very, very quickly, I've got 8 things. Are you ready? Because we'll have to go fast because time is up, isn't it? And as soon as we see the first children coming, I'll stop. Okay. To make sure we're connected to the vine and that our lives are going to bear fruit. Number one, rekindle your love for Jesus, because nothing else we will do will be of any use, because we won't want to do it. If you're not in love with Jesus, go back, like Emily was saying, to say yes, go back to when you were last in love with him, that you last went, I'm so glad you're in my life. Go back to then and see what happened. Where have you gone away? Because he hasn't. He loves you. You know, that goodness of God, it's running after me. It's pursuing us. So go back. Find your love again. That, and if we're not there, all this other stuff will just seem like rules. Number two, read the Bible. It's so simple, but read the Bible. Mark and I are starting a new Bible thing tomorrow, John, 21 days. If you would like to join us, it's on your phone. Okay, I just add you. All I need is your number. And if I've got your number, just tell me. I just add you. And then we read it together. So I read it and I put a comment on and you can see it. You put a comment. So you'll know. You won't know if I don't read it. But you won't see any comment. So you probably think she's not reading it. But telling you now helps me. Do you get it? It helps me. But adding Mark, he didn't want to be added probably, but I've added him anyway. So now I'm accountable to him that he probably won't question me, because then he knows I'll question him. But anyway, read the Bible. You know, if we've got all sorts of Bible notes out there. We've got emails daily. We've got apps. We've got all sorts. We've got more now than we've ever had. But read the Bible. Just read the Bible, something. Oh, they're coming. Pray every day. Thursday, I'm going in the prayer room, 9 till 10:30. Come for a few minutes with me and join. Listen to God when you pray and act on what you think he's saying. Just try. Join a group. Life groups, we haven't got many, and I don't know why we're not going to life groups, why we don't seem to like them anymore, but join a group, whether it's prayer or accountability, meet with a few people, 2 or 3 people, meet with them, or at least email them, or something where you're going to have other people in your life who'll keep you on track. Read the signs. Open your spiritual eyes and ears to what God is doing and expect to see fruit. Try. If you feel prompted to share your faith, prompted to pray for someone, try. If you mess it up, try again. And number 8, share your stories. Please come and share your stories with us. Let's have testimonies in our services, because that's what will build our faith. And if you can do it, so can I. If you've failed, never mind. You've inspired me to try. And take heart. You know, Jesus is in you and we are in him. So you're not doing these things on your own. Okay, I'm 5 minutes over. Let's go quick.